Well, hello, hello, and a very warm welcome to today's show. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Welcome to Acupuncture Point. You know something, every single time that I listen to that song, it brings me back to my 30th birthday. So I had a party at home, and my very, very, very wonderful friend Lisa, who is also an acupuncturist, she knows that I have rather extraordinary, if somewhat limited, taste in music, and she made me a mixtape with that and several other wonderful, wonderful songs on it, because essentially she knew that she would just be listening to the very best of Janet and Michael Jackson for the rest of that evening otherwise. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me this week here on Acupuncture Point. My name is Kevin Durgin, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be your host today. So coming up in today's show, we're going to learn how a teeny tiny tot of exercise can work wonders in the over 65s. I'm going to share with you some brilliant bit of research to come out of the British Medical Journal, no less, which says that acupuncture is underused. That's not me saying it. You'd expect me to say that. That is the BMJ. We're going to hear a heartwarming article. You know I love my heartwarming articles. About a paralysed man who was able to, through the wonders of technology, to communicate with his family. And we're also going to find out how acupuncture can help with osteoarthritis of the knee. Oh yes, I almost forgot. We're also going to play another marvellous round of Game of Themes. And if you would like to join in the tremendous fun, all you need to do is to see if you're able to guess the clue, the common link between all of the wonderful, wonderful songs that I'm going to be playing for you across today's Acupuncture Point show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hello there, you're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. Thank you so much for listening to Acupuncture Point. I came across this this article recently, which I thought I wanted to share with you. Essentially, a recent study has come out to say that even doing a very small amount of exercise, if you're over 65, it keeps you mobile in retirement. Now, this study looked at people who took a weekly exercise class, which was designed to improve strength, balance and stamina. And basically, it's shown that people who take part in these sorts of classes were less likely to see declines in their physical health years later on. Now, this was quite a large study, and it was published in the Lancet Public Health. This is a heavy-duty journal, you know. And it involved almost 800 people between the ages of 65 and 98. And the study ran across sites in Birmingham, Devon, Bath and Bristol over 2 years. And it really, really is very interesting. The programme is known as Retirement in Action, or REACT to its friends, and it would be targeted at older adults who are beginning to experience difficulties with everyday activities like climbing up the stairs, going to the shops on foot, or getting up from a chair. And Basically, the researchers have called for tailored exercise classes to be rolled out on the NHS, demonstrating that it would save the health service more money than the programmes actually cost. Now, I remember a couple of years ago, I did an interview with a marvellous woman called Roberta Meldrum. Not Meldrew, as I kept on saying. She got very cross with me, understandably so. And this brilliant woman had set up and established one yoga class for older people. It was a seated yoga class, and it cost, I don't know, a couple of pounds or something like this for the participants to attend. And these participants said, at the end of the allocated sort of 6-week period, well, we're not going to stop because it is so brilliant. They noted changes and improvements in the way that they felt physically. Emotionally, they felt better because they were hanging out with people. They had something really lovely to look forward to. And they also noticed that they were just a lot more flexible. And this is even seated yoga classes. So we're not talking about those things where you've got to get dressed up in extra tight lycra and do loads of forward bends. No, this was very, very gentle stuff. So anyway, coming back to this study, one of the participants said that by the name of Fayek Osman said, the program improved my well-being as my walking ability and stair climbing are improving. React has been of great benefit to me and encouraged me to continue with an advanced level of activities. It also strengthens my belief that some exercise is better than nothing at all. I love that, don't you? I absolutely love that. And it is so, so true that even a tiny amount of exercise can have really huge, profound differences and make profound differences to your health. So, yes, coming back to this study again, taking at least one exercise session per week, according to the researchers, is sufficient to provide clinically meaningful benefits on lower limb physical function, and it is highly cost effective. And this essentially sends out a very strong public health message to give to older adults. So if you're an older adult, prick up your ears. Teeny tiny bits of exercise do work. So yes, really, really excited about this. And hopefully policymakers will be pricking up their ears as well. According to another one of the people involved in this study, Dr. Max Weston of the University of Bath, he said, given these significant results, we are calling on healthcare professionals and policymakers to draw on our findings and implement similar React sessions in other parts of the country. So hopefully, if you're listening and you are a policymaker, you will hear that call.
Now you wash the dishes, you tidy up the room, you clean the fireplace, and I'll use the broom. Just whistle while you work, and cheerfully together we can tidy up the place. So I'm a merry day. It won't take long when there's a song to help you set the pace. And as you sweep the room, imagine that the room is someone that you love, and soon you'll find you dancing to the tune.
Oh, no, 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 no. Put them in the tub.
When hearts are high, the time will shine, so whistle while you work.
Ah, 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 ah.
We here on Acupuncture Point are nothing if not extremely diverse, from ENO to Snow White there. Hello, hello. And thank you so much for listening to Acupuncture Point this week. So I now want to talk to you about a brand new bit of research that has come out from the British Medical Journal. This is a heavyweight journal. And essentially, this article is called Evidence on Acupuncture Therapies is Underused in Clinical Practice and Health Policy. And this is coming from the Department of Medicine at McMaster University in Canada. And they say in this article that around the world, so many doctors and patients now use acupuncture, this ancient Chinese medicine. And while people like me, so traditional Chinese medicine practitioners, will attribute the effect of acupuncture to stimulating specific acupuncture points around the body, modern scientist is now catching up, and it's increasingly providing evidence on how acupuncture works. And this evidence is beginning to demonstrate, there's masses of evidence. This evidence is demonstrating that acupuncture works to stimulate reflexes that activate your nervous system. It helps to transmit sensory information from your spinal cord to the brain, and then activates various pathways through your body, which eventually has an effect on your physiology. And the amount of clinical research on acupuncture has grown. And since 1975, more than 10,000 really high quality trials on acupuncture have been published. These are called randomized controlled trials, which is really the sort of gold standard of any sort of research. And basically what these people in this article are demonstrating, or rather saying, is that they have assessed the number and the quality of all of these reviews into acupuncture research, and basically they're coming out with the question of why is acupuncture not used more when it's got proven benefits and could really make huge impact on health policy and in clinical practice. And in this very big report, promise you I won't go on about everything, because I could, believe me, well, you know, I could go on and on and on. But basically, in this report, they propose strategies about how effective acupuncture treatments could be implemented, how to find funding opportunities, and also suggesting ways in which acupuncture could be researched a little bit more. In a nutshell, because it's a really, really massive, high quality bit of research, but in a nutshell, they did an overview of all of the really big systematic reviews of acupuncture over 20 years. So a really, really big overview. And generally, they saw that the number of high quality reviews increased in over a 20-year period pretty much exponentially, starting off at about, 5 or 10, and in the year 2020, to just under 500. So that's really, really big. And what these extremely clever people in this article in the British Medical Journal, I repeat, the British Medical Journal, it's so, so massive, they've basically said that acupuncture evidence should be incorporated into decision making within health systems, and because there are so many really, really large reviews summarizing the evidence base behind acupuncture, and organizations, national organizations, health systems need to be initiating and developing more acupuncture evidence informed decision making. So basically, looking at the evidence base for acupuncture and incorporating it so that more patients can have it. Some of the other key messages, because I could go on for days and days and days about this, are that in clinical practice and health policy, they underuse acupuncture therapies which are beneficial. And there are so many high level, really rigorous reviews into how acupuncture could help, and they've also demonstrated the need for funding for acupuncture and also funding for research into acupuncture to focus on conditions where acupuncture has had huge beneficial effects, but where the evidence is of a low certainty. And the final conclusion that they make is that organizations basically need to work together in order to generate evidence for acupuncture and to support its implementation. And this will just then reap dividends for within clinical practice, and also it will spearhead and enable more research to take place. Basically, these wonderful, wonderful researchers conclude that it is vital that we start to use the large body of evidence that exists, that already exists. This needs to inform clinical and policy decision making, and we need to basically start to fund acupuncture services. Now, I would also say one more thing, because I'm very, very, very keen that acupuncture is practiced by acupuncture practitioners. And I've noticed something a little bit disturbing starting to creep in. Within the acupuncture world, acupuncturists are, on the whole, wonderfully giving people. There are some terrible people, as there are in every single profession, but on the whole, there are some wonderful, wonderful giving hearts out there. And I've seen in, because I've spoken to so many acupuncture colleagues over the years who have given their time freely within hospital settings, for example, helping cancer patients or helping people with trauma. And one very disturbing characteristic I've seen is that these acupuncturists, fully trained acupuncturists, 3 years minimum training, been in practice for many, many years, they give their time for free. The hospital or whoever collates really great research, and then the hospital is able to access funding, but the funding isn't able to pay for an acupuncturist. Instead, somebody with fewer qualifications in acupuncture, but with a Western medical training, is then hauled in to do some not so great acupuncture, in all honesty. It isn't true Chinese medical acupuncture. And the acupuncturist gets sidelined. So what I'm really, really passionate about and very keen to happen is that the people who initiate and create these brilliant, brilliant bits of research do not then get pushed aside when the funding eventually does come forward.
Just
Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for listening to Acupuncture Point. Now, for those regular listeners, hello, Mum. You might know that I am a little bit of a Luddite. I practice a very wonderful, very old style of acupuncture. It's five element acupuncture, which indeed is one of the earliest styles of treatment, which relies an awful lot on talking to my patients, interacting in a very gentle way with them, and using just a few needles to help to bring the body back to balance. I don't really use things like electroacupuncture in my clinic. And sort of in the technical world, well, I got a brand new mobile phone the other day and I can barely use it. So I'm not really all that up to date with brand new initiatives, but I do love things like this. I came across this article and it made me feel so happy. It's about a mind reading brain implant. Yes, you heard that right. A mind reading brain implant, which has allowed a man of 36 who is paralyzed, who hasn't been able to move or to communicate with his family for the first time in years. I just love this story and I wanted to share it with you because it made me feel so, wow, the world is amazing. So this man from Germany, he was completely paralyzed. He had two electrodes inserted into his brain and he'd been unable to communicate with his family since 2019. So that's for 3 whole years. Now, after many months of training, this man was able to convey yes or no through a speaker, which I just think is incredible. Because at the very beginning of his problem, he wasn't even able to move his eyes. And basically, this man had been locked in state due to a progression of his illness. And this disorder affects the brain and the nerves that govern movement. And over time, it can sadly cause paralysis and for patients to become locked in, which is where people are conscious and they perceive the world around them, but they're unable to move and they're also unable to speak. And as the disorder progresses, gradually it becomes more difficult for them to communicate, even verbally. And essentially, people then start to rely on eye movements to convey ideas to their family. However, the very, very extremely clever scientists say that this new communication method, which is powered, this is why it's so amazing, it's powered by thought. This could offer hope to the many thousands of people living with this condition. And eventually it will allow them to spell out words to their loved one. How wonderful is that? There was a wonderful, wonderful film. It was many years ago with the actor Matthew Amalric playing a main character in it. This film, it's a wonderful French film called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. And in it, it's the true story of a former editor of French Vogue who developed locked-in syndrome after having a stroke. And you might think that this is a terribly, terribly sad film. And indeed, it was. However, this man, and remember, it is a true story, he was able to dictate an entire beautiful book called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly just by blinking one eye. It really was wonderful, and it just demonstrated the brilliance of the human spirit and how important that is, our spirit. Even when our body might not work, it's our spirit that can make us do wonderful things. Anyway, coming back to this article, was reported in the journal Nature Communications, and the doctors inserted a tiny implant consisting of two teeny tiny electrodes into the man's motor cortex, which is the part of our brain that's responsible for movement. And basically, over the course of 2 months, the experts monitored his brain activity while asking him to just think about moving various parts of his body. And then he was trained to use his thoughts about specific movements to answer yes or no to questions. Isn't this wonderful? And then, with a little bit more training, he was able to communicate words and ideas one letter at a time. And after about 3.5 months of living with this brain implant, the man was able to communicate short phrases, and he was first able to spell out his own name. He then said thank you to the team of the medics and the technicians who gave him this means of communication. How lovely. And then, I absolutely love this. He asked to be given a beer through his feeding tube. And he was able to tell his child, I love my cool son, and was able to ask him if he'd like to watch a Disney film. Okay, this is absolutely wonderful. I feel so excited for technology like this, don't you? And I'm not ashamed to say, a little bit teary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E by God.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
The station that makes you feel good.
Spring is here. Why doesn't my heart go dancing? Isn't the waltz entrancing? No desire, no ambition leads me. Maybe it's because nobody
I know, how very, very classy of me. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining in and being part of Acupuncture Point. I wanted to share this this recent study which aimed to evaluate the effectiveness and safety of Chinese herbal medicine in the treatment of osteoarthritis of the knee. So this was a fairly large study where they used a computer to look at all of the very high quality randomized control trials of Chinese herbal medicine and whenever it was used to treat knee osteoarthritis. And seven very, very large science databases were looked through. And the results involved 3,115 individual studies and 31 studies of those studies. And essentially, after an awful lot of stats, far, far, far too clever for the likes of me to understand, these very clever scientists deduced that Chinese herbal medicine is a superior treatment to those where patients received a placebo treatment, where they thought they were receiving treatment, and also Western medicine. And at the same time, the combination of Chinese herbal medicine and together with Western medicine is superior to Western medicine alone in the treatment of knee osteoarthritis. I think that is really, really fascinating, don't you? Nobody's saying that when we are in the world of Chinese medicine, and acupuncture is one aspect of that, that we should just be working alone in our own little groove. No, it's my sincere hope that acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine can become integrated and work with our wonderful Western medical colleagues. And together, we're going to be able to do pretty marvellous, marvellous things. And speaking of marvellous, have you been playing along to this week's game of themes? Here is your last clue. Are you able to crack this week's cryptic game?
Dropping down their drawers. Where did you get yours? Take a look, huh, sucker. Take a look. rock this place. What is he like? What's he like anyway?
So, my dear friends, how did you do? Were you able to guess this extremely cryptic game of themes? Well, of course, it is spring has sprung. We started off with E&O and Mr. Blue Sky. We had Snow White doing her spring cleaning, whistling whilst she worked. Butterflies by Michael Jackson. You know, we're all emerging from winter, blinking like new spring lambs into the springtime sunshine. We also had Spring Is Here by the marvellous Ella Fitzgerald. And this, Buffalo Stance by the magnificent Nana Cherry Blossom Tree. Did I get away with that one? Anyway, thank you so much for joining in and listening to this week's Acupuncture Point. Please do stay tuned, because coming up next, we have Chee Time with the rather fabulous Clara Apollo. But from me, Kevin Durgin, I bid you a very, very fond farewell, and I'll see you again next week. Lots of love. Goodbye.